Can somebody please tell me what the heck is going on in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs? I have never thought in my life I would be struggling emotionally during the playoffs when the Montreal Canadiens aren't even in it. I never thought in my life that myself and the Curfew Boys would be stressing out over our hated rivalries. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any freaking sense, guys.
We have a pick at stake.
Could somebody please
put
the upside down world?
Explain this to me, please.
Put the pick aside for 1 second and think about this. What world are we living in where the two favorite teams right now to go to the Stanley Cup Finals is Toronto and Edmonton? Two Canadian teams. Not only is it two Canadian teams predicted to go to finals, but also Toronto is part of that prediction.
Yeah, but they were predicted a few times to go to the finals. Before we get there, I just want to take a moment to say thank you to everybody for tuning in this brand new episode of the Curfew Boys on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Thank you all for joining. We got amazing content for you guys tonight. Please hit like and subscribe to all your podcast platforms. Hit like and subscribe to YouTube. Tell your friends about us. These are exciting times, supposedly. But tell your friends about us, your fellow Habs fans out there that are struggling, just like we are. Sammy with Zook, Anthony, and my cousin Chris filling in. Joey and Adrian can make it. I think Adrian might pop in. But listen, it's Tuesday, May 2nd. We're about 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Round two is beginning as we speak.
Well, it's already 2-1 Florida.
No, it's 2-1 Florida. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that later. Bear with me, guys. I'm running a bit of a cold or something. I don't know what's going on. My nose is leaking like I won't say what. So just bear with me. I got tea over here. If I have to blow my nose, I'll just blow
my nose. It's the Toronto flu. It's because they're in the second round, so you're feeling weird.
Sickening.
I guess it's the emotional
coronavirus.
I guess
it's from Toronto.
Oh my god. No, I don't know what it is, but like anyways, the hockey fan in me is loving everything I'm seeing. The hockey fan. I'm loving the underdog stories. I think Anthony and I, we messaged each other, said like, or I don't know if Anthony messaged the group saying this is some of the best hockey in the first round I think I've seen in a long time. Yeah. I feel like we've been saying this every year, but for us to be saying that every year, that means there's something good happening within the game when the playoffs come around.
On that note, though, he's absolutely right. But I find that even last fucking playoffs, it still had a hint of that old school style hockey that we were so used to as a child. This year, though, it's fucking a new brand of hockey, man. It's power. Back and forth.
But not only that, we're in the young generation. It's young hockey.
Put a pin on that. I want you to please put a pin on that. That young hockey. Okay.
I'll put the pin. But I just want to. Okay. I don't know where we are now in this episode because
we're here. Forth. All right. Finally, we're starting. We're recapping round one. Round one's over tonight.
But before we get to the recap, I just want to say something about this. Well, you started off this conversation by hockey. You know, like crazy hockey we've seen, and Zook, you're saying so much power. But what I'm also noticing, and I said this yesterday, Sam, but I think I have to reword it. So just to give you context, in the group chat I wrote, fuck talent, it's not important, it's all about heart, which I still stand by that, okay? But maybe what I try to say is, look at the Rangers. We all predicted them to go far because they stacked up their team at the trade deadline with Kane and all these guys, and they went with like the talented veterans and... That's what I mean by saying that means nothing anymore. I think this generation is young talent. And that's why I keep saying that I don't predict the Habs to wait 8-9 years to win it. only because I think we're in a young generation now. I think it's young talent. It's no more the experienced veteran talents anymore. I think if you have a young core who's as a whole full of talent and heart, and these guys who just want to play because they just want to have fun because they're still young and have a lot to prove, they don't have salaries yet. This is what we're seeing with New Jersey. New Jersey's all full of young players. They have a lot to prove, and they go beat a team like the Rangers. They were last place last year. They were rebuilding their team.
They were.
Look, they're rebuilt. Yeah, they were the seventh last, and they ended up being the third overall pick. But they're in a rebuild stage, and now they just beat a Rangers team who stacked up. So that's what I mean, what I meant yesterday by talent sucks. I meant, you know, a trade deadline, they went to go stack up their shit with veterans and talented high-end paid players. That means nothing anymore now, I find. I think now it's, keep repeating myself, sorry to say this to fans, but young talent is what it is now.
It is, but there's so many factors, Anthony, that we all need to understand and realize the stars got to be aligned. Like, you have to be near perfect for 16 games to win the Stanley Cup.
100%. New Jersey's still far from shoring anything, but...
And there's one thing more than ever, and we've always known this, but so I'm glad you kind of saved yourself, like, because we were gonna have a very good debate. My counter to you before you said this was gonna be like, I really want you to find me a Stanley Cup champion within the past, let's go even way back into the early 90s that had little to no talent.
Okay, but name me everybody in New Jersey right now that's veterans and
No. Hold on a sec. My point is that it's like every team that wins has extraordinary talent, but every team that loses has extraordinary talent. I might go as far as saying the 1993 Montreal Canadiens that won the Stanley Cup, probably on paper, compared to every other Stanley Cup champion.
How many Hall of Famers were in that team, dude?
I can only think of Patrick Waugh. Like, Patrick Waugh was the X factor. Turgeon was not there.
Bernard Muller.
Guy Carbonneau. I don't
know. Carbonneau, Muller.
Is Muller in the Hall of Fame? For the life of me,
I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame.
It's just Carbonneau and Patrick Waugh that I can think
of. Isn't Mark Recchi in the Hall of Fame? Sorry.
Mark Recchi did not win the cup with the Canadians.
He was not in the team, no.
So I'm going as far as 93 to say that that Montreal Canadiens on paper, if you were to compare them to every single Stanley Cup champion that came after them, even up to this day, maybe that roster lineup is the least, I'm gonna say, talented, but they had Patrick Waugh, was the difference maker. That's why he won the Conn Smythe. That's why, and they beat Wayne Gretzky, Luke Robitaille, Rob Blake,
Marty. It was McCormick, like lineup. Had the Habs won in 2021. We would have said the same thing because Price was there.
Was phenomenal.
Team was not as good as Price.
We also all need to realize that yes, it's not so much the most talented team, it's the healthiest team that wins the Stanley Cup. Okay,
streaks happen randomly, Like
streaks happen randomly. The New York Rangers, Anthony, if you were to ask their fan base, where the fuck was Mika Zibanejad? Yeah. Where the fuck was Artemi Panarin? Okay. Kane did okay. He didn't do great. He did okay. Tarasenko, not so bad. Adam Fox was probably their best defenseman. Jacob Trouba.
Lafreniere.
Where was he? Lafreniere needs to not be on the third line anymore.
It's okay. Soon he's going to be doing a professional tryout with Jonathan Drouin in the West Coast.
Okay.
Did you?
I love George Laroque, but did you hear on French radio? He said that if the Montreal Canadiens' top pick is sixth overall, that he would actually trade that for Lafreniere. I love George. It's his opinion. That's why
For Lafreniere.
I disagree. No, you don't trade that pick. Anthony, the age factor. You're on. Fucking point. Okay. The average age, I didn't actually calculate, but if you look, Zibanejad, Panarin, Kane, Tarasenko, they're all in their early 30s. The New Jersey Devils, pardon me, they're all in their mid 20s. Fuck. Toronto tied it up. And it's 2-2. We'll get to that later. Let's, okay, like, seriously, there's another series we need to talk about in terms of age, but who in the first round, guys, are you surprised? Are you very surprised that won? And who are you not so surprised that won?
Let's hear Chris. I haven't heard you say anything yet.
Hey, now.
Yeah, just hey, now, indeed. No, look, obviously, it's got to be Florida. It absolutely has to be Florida, especially the fact that they were down 3-1 and they came back, and the way that they came back and the way that they went through, the way that they eliminated the President's Trophy winners. That's something that goes without saying. I thought it was absolutely insane that Seattle took out the Stanley Cup champs. Ooh. I'd say those are my two standout picks.
Okay. I think,
like, I hate to say it like this. I have a feeling that everybody's going to say pretty much the same thing, but I think the biggest surprise were just how many injuries and just the lack of energy for some of the teams that we expected to come out flying. And again, that's Boston, that's Tampa Bay, and that's Colorado. Those three teams, maybe not Colorado, but you're watching Boston and Tampa Bay play, they look gassed. And obviously the injury lists came out. Maybe one of you can elaborate on that a little bit more, but the list of injuries were crazy. And there's maybe a little bit of understanding why those teams were underwhelming, but seriously, Seattle and Florida, hats off to you guys, because that's a really, really big surprise just to be staring at on any hockey website or whatnot.
Yep.
I mean, look, I would say exactly what you said, Chris. You know, New Jersey was a big surprise, and Florida was a big surprise for many reasons. You know, we all said our predictions at the beginning, right before the series started, we all said conference finals was going to be Rangers and Boston. We all said that. And, you know, and not only that, you said something about Florida, Chris, you know, being down 3-1 and beating the President's Trophy Cup. But not only that, they squeezed themselves into the playoffs. They were far from it in the last, month of hockey. So to me, I see the Florida Panthers, and if they do go far, the LA Kings from 2000 and...
Absolutely.
What year was that? Where they just came out of nowhere, made the playoffs, and won the cup.
Was it 2012?
Both times.
2012.
It was 2012, yeah. Yeah,
that's because Jonathan Quick was on a fucking hot streak, and I think Bobrovsky is in the same boat right now, because didn't he come on the third game 3?
Yeah, he did. He had Alex Lyne playing the first two games. Yeah,
and then game 3, Bobrovsky, and that's again, we keep having this debate with Zouk, or I don't know who it was, but that goalies mean nothing, guys. I think goalie is a big part of the playoffs, because even yesterday, you know, the New Jersey goalie, I can't say his name, Schmidt? Saying it right? Wow, saying it right.
You said it better than...
Unreal, huh?
Than Saint-Martin.
You know? Look how hot he was, you know? But both goalies were hot yesterday, because not for anything, I thought the Rangers-New Jersey game yesterday was going to be going overtime at 0-0 at one point, and then just Jersey just broke out. But again, hot goalies, and that streak that comes and goes, but when you're in that streak... I think Florida right now has it, but again, we're still too early to talk about it, but that's my big surprise.
Yeah.
Well, two things, if you don't mind me interjecting. The one reason why I didn't mention New Jersey, look at it from a historical point of view. New Jersey tends to have the New York Rangers number every single time. I don't know why.
It's nuts.
But it's just a historical happening that New Jersey tends to beat the Rangers. The other thing that I can't say that I'm entirely surprised. I'm gonna throw this question out. Even as a hockey fan, whoever's listening, try to take a guess before this comes. This is my opinion. What would you guys say is the statistic or something that you're looking at that you'd consider to be the most important going into the playoffs?
Me, it's the goalie.
No, for a statistic you're talking about, I would say the team that gets the least penalties.
Okay, it might be misleading by saying statistic, just overall
thing. Okay,
are you saying what is the recipe or the weapon you need in the playoffs to go far?
If you're analyzing a team going into the playoffs,
it's health.
What would be a clear indicator to be like, okay, regardless of their points, regardless of whether they're first or eighth in their respective conference, what would be a good indicator as to how they're going to be performing?
To me, I'm sorry, and I keep saying this, is the hot goalie. And look at the trend. Let's go back to Cam Ward and Murray and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and last year with Colorado. It's that hot goalie. You can have the most talented team, healthy team, but once you have that goalie on a streak, that's your recipe. That's how I see it.
Okay, I'm gonna add a slight little bit. This is my personal answer. I say you look at a team's not only the goalie, the whole team streak. The Florida Panthers have been fighting and clawing their way just to get into the playoffs. They've been in playoff mode and they've been performing. And the streak, I'd say, look at their record. You look at Edmonton going into the playoffs, I think they had over 70% win percentage. Same thing for the Panthers. They have been fighting their way. They have been performing. They had been winning. But I'm not saying that other teams that got eliminated were not in that frame
Boston
of mind.
Had a bad last five games of the year, by the way.
Well, I just think, like I
and
said,
Florida's been insane since half of the year. They were shit at the beginning, and then the second half they were on a crazy tear, dude. And they clawed back up. They surpassed Pittsburgh. They surpassed.
At the same time, too, like I would somewhat. I don't fully agree, but I don't disagree either. They were up 3-1. They did something right for the first half of the series. It's what happened along the way. I think the age factor caught up to them. I think the health factor definitely caught up to them. And fuck, when I think the pressure got to the Bruins.
Sorry, besides Tampa Bay 2 years ago, when's the last President's Cup trophy won a cup? Because I haven't checked. Because Chris, you come with a good point. It's starting the fight before playoffs starting. When you have a team like Boston or Tampa always finishing first, you know you're kind of laid back all year because you get that X.
I think Colorado
two months before.
I'm gonna double check that, but I think Colorado was the President's Trophy winner last year.
Let me find out. But yeah,
I don't know if we could say that about the Bruins, because I always found the Bruins having like their brand of hockey has been always playoff style. You know what I mean? There's gameplay was always suited for playoffs within the last 20 years, we could say. So I don't know.
Okay, now last year was
maybe they're old now. Maybe that's
last year's President Trophy winner was Florida, the Panthers.
Okay,
yeah, and they got bounced in the second round.
Colorado was the year before.
Yeah.
But okay, their overall depiction for me, like blindly, is just okay. Are the record, have they been performing hot streak? Yeah, like you said, whether trending. It be the goalie, whether it be the whole team, how are they trending exactly? But you guys are 110%. Zouk and Sammy, you both said it, injuries, because the Boston Bruins, their I don't know, so called Vezina winning trophy goalie is injured. That's just Bergeron had a horrible injury too. Florida Panthers just scored, so fuck you, Toronto. And going back to the injuries, like Boston was dealing a lot. You look at Tampa Bay, Victor Hedman, probably one of the most well-rounded defensemen and tough defensemen to play against in the league, was clearly not 100%.
It's a tough league, man.
Dude, this is why they say it's one of the hardest trophies to win in sports.
It's insane.
The proof is in the pudding.
So let's we talk about Rangers and Devils. We talk about Florida and Boston. Let's move to the Toronto Tampa series. Were you guys surprised of how it ended?
Yes.
No.
Disgusted.
Because I don't. Besides, okay.
No, I was not surprised.
You weren't surprised?
In my heart, I wanted Tampa to win, but I knew Toronto was going to win.
Okay,
why?
I thought they were going to win in seven, not six.
Why? Okay, now
because Tampa's not the same team.
That's what I was just going to say.
Toronto never won a fucking first round. Like,
yeah, but
it's going to end.
Needs more than age.
It's going to end. It's going to end
eventually.
Look at the odds.
Go, Anthony. Sorry, before we.
No, you said it. Tampa's not the same team, but not only that. Okay, I thought Toronto was going to win because, yes, they had to finally break the ice and whatever. I still think that Tampa has it in them, but they're not the same team. But not only that, do you feel like Toronto even played well?
No. No. Their last three fucking goals were shit.
They showed a statistic, too. The teams that led the least amount of time in terms of the score, the teams that led fucking Toronto was the lowest out of all the fucking teams.
No, but
they score these piece of shit goals off of skates, off of this and that. I fucking hate this team.
No, man.
Toronto tied the game with a minute left, one game, and then went in overtime.
No,
was down 4-0 and came back.
It was that game. It was game four when they were down 4-1. When they came back, I knew this, like,
momentum. No,
they're going to.
Anthony said
boom.
It.
Boom! Moment. Who said that? Did you say momentum?
Anthony, he said it in the not the Slack, in the WhatsApp.
Yeah, but it was
It is. It's momentum.
Moment. Same thing happened with Florida.
It has to be.
Florida had momentum.
They were. But that's when coaching. That's when coaching should come into play.
Momentum, like, is real.
Momentum. It is real, but they didn't follow through the next game after that 4-1.
No, but you. You,
that's a good point.
For probably for the first time, the Toronto Maple Leafs core, for the first time, when they lost game five,
yeah,
in Toronto, excuse me, they didn't feel deflated like they did when we played them. Remember in game six when we beat them? I understand game six, and you're going to game seven. Not just that. Yeah, actually, it is that. Game six, that overtime period, do you guys remember?
I think they got dominated. Canadians got dominated.
And then one bad mistake, turnover, Kakanyemi scores. We knew.
Galchenyuk.
We knew.
Happened.
Yeah, no, but even at that Galchenyuk giveaway, too, to Suzuki and Caulfield alone, they scored that. We all had that. I'm like, okay, hold on. Wait a second
here. He was thanking us for picking it for the first time
in this team's life. I don't think Toronto felt deflated.
My balls are hurting hearing this.
Yeah, I want to cut my tongue off for saying this.
Yeah.
But you want to know who I think was the key factor to the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Don't say it. I know what you're going to say.
They traded for him. No.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly, man.
I'm telling you. He's like a Perry for the Habs.
I think that guy
he's definitely a playoff.
Take the C off Tavares. I don't give a fuck if he scored the game winning goal.
Yeah,
take the C off Tavares and put it on that guy. I love Ryan O'Reilly.
I always
loved him.
I'm gonna say this. I have obviously the Maple Leafs core, like you're saying, actually performed for the first time in their playoff lives. But there are two very, very important factors. Number one, if Vasilevsky played that kind of hockey against the Montreal Canadiens, we're celebrating our 25th Stanley Cup win. It pissed me off to no end that's how he performed because it was so disappointing to see the soft goals that he let in that he has never let in any other playoff series. And that's why Tampa Bay has not been kicked out of the first round since they screwed up and they did that choke job. The second element, talking about players being injured and everything like that, no more Ryan McDonagh. Ryan McDonagh is a player that punishes the shit out of players on the back end. Victor Hedman was out for at least a game, if not two.
He missed half the game, but Tampa still won. Game two, he was out. They got a beating.
You're missing another key player, guys.
Game three, but he was injured.
You're missing another key player, though, to the equation there, Chris.
Having Chernak there.
He's in Seattle right now.
No, he's in New Jersey.
Yanni Gourde?
That's a key player.
Yeah,
playoff.
No, but the guy I'm thinking of is in New Jersey.
Who?
Andre Palat.
Palat, yes. Yeah, Palat.
But I think Gourde had more flair.
The support players, you're 100% right that the support players weren't there. But let me say this much. Okay, I hate to say it, but Phil Danault was so important for the Montreal Canadiens in shutting down the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm sorry to say that. Good on you, Phil Deno. Wish you would have scored more while you were here. Jesus Christ.
I have to go poop.
Or vomit. But no, I'll say this much too. The Toronto Maple Leafs players, they have all the talent in the world. the tendency for the Toronto Maple Leafs players to disappear, their top end, their Marners, their Matthews, I won't say as much Tavares, but those two, the Marners and Matthews, they usually disappear every postseason. Why? Because the opposing team beats the shit out of them every single time they go into the corners, every single time that they're in their zone. These players are not skating in with their heads down and doing all the fancy moves. Tampa Bay did not punish them whatsoever. From what I've seen from Florida already in this game, they have been hammering these players. Watch to see how Marner and Matthews are going to be trying to – they're not going to be coasting into the zone at full speed. They're going to be fucking super slow to get in, not having the same influence as long as Florida keeps smashing the shit out of them. Radko Gudas, Matthew Tkachuk, and company, do your job. Smash these players, and we're going to see them. They're going to be gone.
The thing is, on defense, Florida cannot play the catch-up game in their own zone versus Toronto. Toronto's way too fast.
And another key thing, why can't I'm saying this? But Florida has to stay out of the box.
Yeah, absolutely.
Toronto has a very strong power play.
That almost killed them against Boston. It almost they were winning 2-0, took stupid penalties. Boston came back. Yeah, absolutely.
That's, but especially you have a strong Toronto power play line. Yeah, kind of saying that. But yeah, what other game? I mean,
Carolina, I knew. Dallas, I knew was going to be
Seattle and Colorado, man.
That was a surprise, too. I didn't expect Kraken in year two of their...
An expansion team beating the world... The Stanley Cup champ.
Yeah. But, you know, we've seen Vegas do it 2 years in a row when they first started, but I never expected Kraken from... I don't think they even had a good draft to begin with.
Dude, Matty Beniers, what are you talking about?
Well, look, they had a really bad first season. So I didn't think the second season they would surprise us.
Well, because they got a whole bunch of free agents. They made a whole bunch of trades too. They got a lot of picks, and they traded some of those picks for those players that they got. They want to get depth.
Grubauer also had a hell of a series too.
Yes, that's true. Grubauer, absolutely.
Imagine Kraken wins, and even though he's not playing, but to know that Shane Wright in his first year wins a cup, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know he's not winning it, but he's part of that team. It's just
that organization
they would kind of burn, right?
Whatever.
Bah. I mean,
but then again, yeah, he put
You know who I think would burn the most? I think if Carolina wins it, if Jesperi Kotkaniemi lifts the Stanley Cup.
I don't see Carolina winning it. I don't see it.
I don't know, man. I don't know if we'll probably get to it as the series, the rounds go on. But to me, I think not having Andrei Svechnikov might hurt them in the long run.
I thought losing him would have costed the Islanders to have the upset. Remember I said that the only upset we're going to see in round one was Islanders beating Carolina? I thought that was going to happen then. But anyways, to be honest, a lot of upsets in this series, a lot, because we all expected, you know, the Colorados, the Rangers, the Boston to go as far, and we're seeing a whole brand new. We're finally going to get a brand new Stanley Cup winner.
Yeah, it's true. Both finalists on both ends are out. Speaking of Vegas, like, they destroyed Winnipeg, but did you hear what their coach said, Rick Bonus?
Disgusting. No.
Yeah. How he's embarrassed and disgusted. How there was no pushback from his from his leadership core. Is Pierre-Luc Dubois part of that core?
Yeah, of course.
What are you talking about?
Who else is it, dude? Of course.
See, that surprised me because
he wants to get the fuck out. It's plain as simple as that.
They started off the series strong.
Yeah,
Winnipeg. I actually thought they were going to surprise us all, and then the whole Dubois talk would have been gone because I thought he was going to win or get close to it and want to stay longer. Vegas just surprised us all. But go
come here.
Yeah, but that's, you know what? I'm happy you bring that up, Anthony. I really am, because if you watch those games, I thought Dubois really took some bad penalties here and there, but I thought he was one of the most implicated players, driving the puck the hardest, carrying the play. If his fucking line mates actually showed up a little bit more than they did, I think they could have I think he was one of the most visible players on the ice for Winnipeg.
Yes.
So So, you know what? I know that it still looks poorly on him because he wasn't able to convert certain opportunities or feed his teammates, pardon me, Jesus Christ. But I still think he was a standout player for Winnipeg, all things considered.
I mean, he had a first few good games at the beginning. I remember watching, like, I think he put up like 2 goals and 1 assist in one of the games. But I don't know. It's just I'm not saying that the blame is to be entirely on him. I think there's a lot of other problems on that team before you mentioned the name Pierre-Luc Dubois, but it's the way I see it is, if there was pushback, despite losing, the coach would have probably been like, no, we had good performances from some of our top guys. We just weren't good enough. Blah, 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 blah. So I don't know, like, it kind of, I was trying to see if there were any like secret messages.
No, Dubois is officially done with Winnipeg. I don't see him playing next year. I don't see him finishing his contract there. Do I see him coming to Montreal? I don't want to have this topic conversation right now. It's not the time to talk about him again. But
yes,
just I thought, and I said this, I don't know who I was speaking to, but this playoffs, I said this, and even, you know what, 690 said it as well. If Winnipeg goes to the finals and doesn't win, but gets that push, Dubois stays with the Jets. If they win, he leaves the Jets, or loses first round, he leaves the Jets. And I think losing the way they lost and the coach saying what he said, he's done with that organization.
It's okay. Come here.
So I have this question then, two things. Would you trade the Florida pick? Even whether or not it's at 17, that's a steep asking price for a guy that we could probably get for free.
No,
you not wouldn't. Anymore.
Nope. After what I saw at the U18 men's tournament,
nope.
A lot of good players that are there that are drafted that are going to be going between 10 and 20.
Yeah, but so what? They're not going to be playing there for the next 2 years. Who cares?
And. Well, okay,
you want to justify your 10-year fucking wait for a playoff. That's why.
No, I want to draft a good fucking player. That's why.
Okay, and what if the pick slides? What if the pick slides? If Florida wins and the pick slides down, I just want to play devil's advocate.
Now what, Sammy?
If the pick slides down, it's the end of the first round, and listen to this: still have Pierre-Luc Dubois without having a fucking $8 million, $9 million contract. We get a test run for a year to see whether or not he fits, to see whether or not he's actually going to back up what he has to offer. And then if he performs, you say, okay, here's your contract. We know that we're not going to take because I see it as it's a complete risk. If he's going to come here for free, we have no idea how he's going to perform, and we offer him $9 million. And then it's another contract that we can't get rid of. Shot to the head.
He's less of an unknown than a fucking 25th overall pick.
Trade that pick for Austin Matthews.
Oh, Austin Matthews is going to Arizona with
Bedard. No,
but seriously. No, he's not. No, I think he's going to leave Toronto, but I don't think
he's going to go to Arizona. You're going to see how fast that fucking organization is going to skyrocket with value.
Do you guys think Patrice Bergeron's done?
Yes. 100%. Yeah. He was crying.
It was a Shea Weber moment.
I was just going to say that. He was a Shea Weber and Price moment. That was it.
I
agree with that.
I was sad. I saw that. I was like,
man. There's nothing to be sad. The guy had one of the fucking greatest careers ever.
Oh, for sure. But just, yeah. Anthony said it. To end it that way, it does suck, though.
Well, what?
You said it. To end it that way, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, but can I throw in a... Fuck. Don't shoot me, especially you, Joey. This conspiracy... It's not me. Okay? It's not me.
He's not coming to the Canadians, and...
No.
Okay, good.
I have not seen this. I haven't. I didn't see this. I didn't think of it. It has been all over TikTok. Oh. That the game is rigged. Did you see? If you watch the Boston Florida game, right before Florida tied it, they announced the goal. The goal sign went on TSN or whatever, ESPN or TSN. It said goal Florida Panthers. It disappeared, and then 20 seconds later, Florida scores to tie the game. So it's been all over TikTok saying that it was rigged, that this the televised company accidentally put goal right before the goal happened, and it happened like literally 20 seconds after the sign popped up.
It's like Jessica Simpson on Saturday Night Live.
What?
I don't understand.
She saw the performance. She was about to sing, but the sound was coming somewhere else. Oh, and then she
was her like lip syncing.
Yeah.
Wasn't it her sister?
Jessica Simpson. Ashley Simpson. You're right. No, yeah, Ashley Simpson. Ashley Simpson is the young one. Yes, it's Ashley Simpson. Yeah. Sorry.
You got to figure. I don't know if it works like that to answer your question, Ant. I don't know if, because you got to figure it's going through the camera, it's being broadcast, it's got to go out, it's got to come back in. Maybe there's a certain delay. Maybe the guy screwed up
and was it the same name of player, Ant?
No, it just said goal. It's just the goal sign went on.
Wow.
But cool.
I've been seeing a lot of, I mean, we're always going to get conspiracy theories all over the world. It is what it is. But a lot of people are saying Vegas is so in this.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere. And that's what happened. Like, again, I don't want to get into this, but Vegas was quiet for a long time, right? But now Vegas is starting to get very popular in the sports world. You know, they have a football team.
They have a baseball team now.
Baseball team now. NHL team. It's so easy to now get Vegas involved in things. Did you hear the, again, side topic, but there's a, hey, Joey. Everybody cheats until you get caught. Detroit Lions, some players in the team got caught betting on their games last year. Now they're suspended for half the season next year. It happens. And more with Vegas being more involved in our sports entertainment, you're going to start seeing a little rig shit. It is what it is. It's part of the – we're not going to get the true honesty.
Yeah, but I don't know. I personally, I don't buy that. But it makes a funny conversation. That's for sure.
I'd say the closest that you can go to fixing a game is officiating. I think you can give a team an advantage with calls, poor calls or good or bad calls, so to say. Avoiding making good calls or making bad calls. But no, I don't think, if anything, maybe human error over there for the goal thing. But there, you just look at the raw emotion of these guys. There's no way in hell that this is scripted.
Raw emotion. Sports entertainment. Good actors. I'm just joking. Okay. Oh. Let's move on. Joey's listening to this conversation.
After Jacob Trouba delivered that monstrous hit on Timo Meier, there's been
so much controversy today
and mixed reactions. Okay. So you guys know me. You guys know a bit how I played the game when I used to play contact. I used to play contact. So,
yeah, Sammy, who's your idol?
I'll get there. I'm not just a guy who's commenting how I think hitting should go. I've done it. I've done it myself. I've done it in double letter hockey. I haven't gone higher than that, but I did play it. I know what it's like to get hit. I know what it's like to deliver a hit. You have to keep your fucking head up. My favorite defenseman was Scott Stevens. And come at me all you want. I don't give a shit. You ain't going to win. You definitely weren't going to win against Scott Stevens if he had you lined up.
Was the sound used to make?
Down. Scott Stevens.
Boom. Remember you, Steve.
So.
Fucking guys.
And the best thing is that Jacob Trouba did it in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like he did it in New Jersey. Those shades of Scott Stevens in that hit. I'm going to say this now, people. You could disagree with me if you want. You know what? Sorry, but facts do not care about your feelings. Okay? It was a legal hit.
As per the rule, it was a legal hit, yes.
It's a legal hit because Timo Meier had his head down, but he was leaning forward. If Timo Meier would have been slightly standing up, Trouba is going chest to his shoulder, tucked in, no elbow sticking out, no shoulder popping out, clean. It's going to his chest. Okay? You also have to consider, Trouba is taller than Meier. The height plays a bit of that difference. You don't like seeing someone get hurt. That's fair. That's fine. We all feel the same way. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. But this is part of the game. Okay, I'm sorry. I hate how some of the snowflakes in the society are like, we need to take this out of the game because it's because everyone is accusing Trouba that he's trying to injure Meyer.
Cancel Trouba.
So shut the fuck up. He was not. Yeah. He's trying to separate the guy from the puck.
There was someone on 690 today who analyzed this play, and he actually gave a very good explanation about it. And he spoke on to both sides of the spectrum about this. I'm not going to talk about it because I do not remember, so I don't want to say something that.
You had me all excited.
No, but he did say what you just said, that it was a legal hit on paper in the rule book.
Yeah, it was a legal hit. Yeah.
But then based on positioning of where the puck was and the character of Trouba, his history of hits, it kind of looked like he was going there to injure and not play the puck. So he was talking on both sides, and he did bring up a very good point. I'm not saying to remove hitting or what happened there was wrong. The guy didn't have his head down. So right away, that's your ex. You fucked up. You know, Meyer had his head down right there. And that's number one wrong. I think Trouba, give a legal hit, but it seemed based on positioning and everything that there was intent to injure and not intent to play the puck. I disagree with that. No, but
yeah,
I don't remember what he said and why. Okay. He did say something that made me like, but I don't remember it. So I'm not going to say it because I don't remember what he said.
But that's the point of hitting. You need to hit the guy hard enough to get him away from the puck. You know what I mean? I saw somebody tweeted, oh, maybe if he would have just stood there, it would have been okay. Just stand there. What are you talking about?
They don't know what they're talking about.
They don't. These are professional
skaters. It's the game, man.
How fast they skate. If Trouba stands there, he's going to get hurt or there's a risk.
That's it. Look, it's like a lion who stares at a gazelle with three legs. He's not going to go there and pet his belly. He's going to fucking eat him. Same shit. Same shit with players like Trouba. He saw that. He went for it. It's a playoff. I know there's not much relation to that, but I'm just saying it's his character because Anthony was saying his character and whatnot is past. Yeah, listen, he did what he did. Playoff hockey, high emotion. He destroyed the fucker. There you go. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it should just end there.
Go, Chris. Go.
And I like your analogy. No sympathy no sympathy in the wild. You take what's there to be had, and I think the most telling thing, and I invite everybody to go back and watch the replay all season long of all the hits. That was the most devastating hit, but of all the hits, the other thing that stood out, I have never seen a guy's arm tucked in so close to his body. Scott, you talk about, again, to the New Jersey fan base, Scott Stevens fucking threw the elbow all the time.
Yeah,
you look at Trouba too. He has several times this season alone, he has thrown the elbow. That literally, it was like stuck to his body the whole way down. The guy was basically had his hand on his thigh and the whole arm all the way down was glued to his body. And he just followed through with the hit. Like Sammy said, Timo Meyers leaning forward, going after the puck. I see no problem with that hit. It's unfortunate that the contact was with his head, but it was circumstantial. Look, you want to know what? If he wanted to fucking hurt him, that arm comes out. And two, he could have easily ducked down. He could have flipped him over. He could have done any number of things.
He could have done knee on knee at that angle.
Yeah.
But he's not a type of player that does that, though.
He's not. But you want to know what else I noticed that kind of made me like, it's a clean hit? Who went after Trouba after he delivered that hit?
Yeah, nobody.
There was not even a penalty.
No. It wasn't like the Shifley hit on Evans. You know what I'm saying?
Which one's worse?
On Evans.
Shifley's.
Remember Shifley on Jake Evans?
Yeah.
You want to talk about intent to injure while separating the guy from the puck?
Open net. Like.
Yeah. No, 100%. No. Yeah. Look, like I said, legal hit. You said it, Chris. His elbow's tucked in, so whatever. Again, if you guys want to, I don't know if it's saved somewhere, but there was a very good analysis on that hit on both sides of the spectrum. I do not remember what he said. It did sound that it made sense, but in conclusion, it was a legal hit. He should not get suspended because the ref didn't give him a 2-minute penalty.
Even if he does, like, the season's over for him anyway. So,
but they were saying that like the potential suspension that can happen is like 10 games in the first season.
Here, I'll even extend an olive branch.
Like Shifley. Well, like, oh, look, Scheifele had that. Scheifele, yeah, Scheifele, right, yeah, ended the series and had the first 10 games of the series this season.
It was five.
I'll extend an olive branch here. The handshake line. Did you see Trouba going to Meyer?
Yeah.
Hugged him, made sure he's okay. And even Meyer was like, I think Meyer admit, yeah, I fucked up.
Get his head down, man.
I should not have kept my – I don't think he said this. He probably did, but I didn't see it or read it. Him too, he'd probably admit, yeah, I fucked up. I shouldn't have kept my head down, and I should have known that he's on the ice. You need to know who's on the ice when you're playing. You need to know who your opposition is. And I'm sorry to say this, but, like, it's just little arguments. Look, you want to have opinions that, like, I don't like the way – you don't have to like it. But I'm sorry, you remove this shit out of the game, you're going to decrease the value of this fucking game.
No, the game is done. The game is done. You remove fighting and hitting, it's over.
Well, thank you for bringing up my next point. This is coming from the same people who don't want fighting in the game anymore, and yet they're going to complain that there's no more rivalry excitement anymore. The reason why there's rivalries for so many decades, it's because of the hatred and the fighting that took place between two teams. But it's true.
No, if games start getting too soft, you're going to see. Already, the NHL is having a hard time fucking building their reputation again and bringing excitement to this league. You remove the two top things of this sport, I'm done. Like, everybody's going to be done.
If you look at if you look at
flag hockey, take the flag out of his
out of his pocket.
Anyway, I hate you.
You remove the two elements that make people stand up and go, oh, whoa, fighting and hitting.
Yeah, oh, man.
We're going to start our own flag hockey.
That's flag hockey. The visuals of that is sort of.
Oh, Caulfield is on a breakaway, and you see Scott Stevens pulling a flag in the back of him. Oh, I hit you.
Oh, speaking of just hit, like, I just saw Mark Stahl deliver a big hit on
Matthews
on Matthew Nyes, I think.
Get in there.
No, Matthews, Austin Matthews.
Anyways. Okay, look, before we get to the round two predictions, the ultimate struggle amongst Habs fans right now.
No, there's no fucking struggle. Simple as that. Fuck Toronto. No, there is, man.
What do you guys want? Do you want Toronto to lose, or do you want to keep the 17th
as a Habs fan? Even cross your mind that you want to see A, Toronto win, and B, a Torontonian or a Toronto fan smile. I want them to suffer in every way possible. So no, I don't give a fuck about that pick. Won't even say what I'm going to say. Just move on. I say no.
Okay. Zook. I want to ask you individually, guys.
So, if I'd rather have the Leafs win or get a 17 overall pick,
or would you rather have a three-legged gazelle?
Yeah. What's the weakest? I'm kidding. I'd rather. I can't say. Yeah. I'm with Anthony. I can't.
You're what?
I'm with Anthony on this one.
You can't root for the Leafs.
I can't.
I can't.
Okay.
Because we're trading that pick for PLD, so it's fine.
Chris, goes without saying, I cannot root for Toronto whatsoever. I look at a guy, let's say, like Steve Dangle. Like, I actually have that playing in the background and whatnot. I'm happy that the guy finally gets one podcast or he gets to celebrate a win. Like, there's a certain sense of they're actually loyal. They've been coming back year after year, even though they've been losing. I mean, we would have not tolerated that shit here in Montreal. I think we hold ourselves to a higher standard. We expect winning. We expect to, you know, actually perform. But, you know, I'm very sad that we won't have that first round exit joke anymore for the Leafs. And I look at what's happening. You go on to whether it be the NHL posting, any NHL discussion, any fucking single post on Instagram, the Leafs fans, they have no sense. They have no fucking sense of knowing how to win with any class or dignity. You have a fucking Leafs fan chirping the Tampa Bay Lightning players as they're going back to the locker room after having lost and saying, happy golf, happy golfing season. Like, fuck you. Those are some of the best guys, and almost every single guy in that locker room has a Stanley Cup ring, and you're ridiculing them after you won one fucking round after 19 years. Go fuck yourself, you bunch of loser fans. That's the personal, like, I'm happy that you won. Enjoy your little victory, but you're far away from victory, and I want you to stay as far as possible so the goddamn Leafs have to lose this round as soon as possible, in four if possible. I couldn't give a shit if that pick of ours goes to the fucking third round. As long as the Maple Leafs lose this round, I'll be happy.
Amen.
Wow. Even if they guarantee... if you were to tell me this,
fucking Leafs.
Toronto beats Florida but guarantees losing next round so we can get that pick, I probably would still say I do not want Toronto to win because I just don't want to see them happy.
Exactly.
I just don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being selfish now, but
no. I don't think it's selfish at all. I think it's because, again, you got it's split down the middle amongst this fan base, amongst the Canadians fan base. It's if you really want to support the team and want to do what's best for the team, you have to go with the necessary evil and root for the Leafs for that 17th pick. But then there's like, it literally takes every fiber ounce being of me and us alive to even have a thought of rooting for the Leafs. How many times did we root for the Leafs to win certain games throughout the season to help us with the
standings?
With the standings, I think it was against Florida. They had a lead, and then Florida came back and won in overtime. I'm not even a Leafs fan, and they disappoint me. Like,
yeah. So, it's impossible to root for the Leafs. You take the Boston Bruins, the true arch rival of the Montreal Canadiens, hate them with a passion, but I respect them. Toronto, yes, I hate them, and I don't respect them. There's just no respect to be had.
I'm gonna go with the very. I hate myself, but I'm going to go with the very neutral response that I can give to everybody is whatever happens, happens. And I think if I'm trying to be positive or a glasses half full kind of guy, at the end of the series, shouldn't we be happy either or? Shouldn't we be happy if the Leafs lose? But shouldn't we be happy if we still keep the 17th overall pick?
Oh, that's very optimistic of you, Sammy.
It is, but I hate. I don't like it.
I mean, look, I'll swallow it. I guess if they
swallow it.
let's go with the analogy. If life gives us lemons, we'll make lemonade.
As I was saying it a lot, I knew you guys were gonna laugh.
Oh my god!
Wow.
If you can guarantee the next round exit loss, you know what, it might even burn even more for Toronto to make it to the conference and then lose. That might even feel even better because you win as a Habs fan by getting the 17th and losing the conference when they were so close to smelling that cup and you take it away from them. Maybe I'll be okay. But I think the key player of this series, and I guess we'll get there later about the predictions, but I'm thinking Tkachuk will be the game changer of this whole series, because I don't know if you noticed, if you go on Instagram now, Tkachuk has been eyeing the bench. Every time they scored two goals or after the two goals, he goes to the bench and mocks them as he's going to his bench.
It's fucking amazing.
He's intimidating the team.
But do you think what his father said kind of lit a spark 100%. Under him? His father said that his father, Keith Tkachuk, Hall of Famer, said, I think he's a Hall of Famer, said, there's no drive. There's no heart in this team. Like, they have all the talent, but they don't play with – there's no jump in their game. And ever since he said that, that's Florida. That's Florida. So I like to think that was the fuel they really needed to start that fire. So are you guys ready for predictions?
Let's do it.
All right. Round two predictions from 16 teams down to 8. I'm gonna start in the West because it's too bad these West Coast times are different from the East Coast. But look, let's start with this series. I'm actually I really think these series are getting a lot better as they go. We'll start with this one: Dallas and Seattle, who are gonna be playing after the Toronto game.
Dallas in 6.
Okay. Yep, I agree. Yep, Dallas in 6. I'm going with Dallas in 6. Anthony?
I'm going to go with the underdog Seattle because I think if Dallas goes to the finals, it's going to be a boring finals. They're very defensive and
I don't know, man. Rupe Hintz and Robertson, man.
Someone was saying today on 690, imagine seeing a Devils Dallas Stanley Cup Finals. How boring would that be?
My wow. God. That'll be,
it'd be a boring, God, that, ass, that's boring shade, ass series.
That's shade of 2000 or 19. Yeah. Or is it 1999? When Dallas won in 99, I forgot who they beat. Because at one point...
Is it not the Buffalo Sabres?
That's right. So it was in 2000 when New Jersey won. I think they beat the Dallas Stars. Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna go Seattle in seven. I think there's something special going on in Seattle. Yeah. I think on paper Dallas momentum has the advantage, but there's something going on in Seattle.
We got momentum. It's momentum. Okay. The next series in the West: Vegas versus Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers.
Edmonton.
Straight Edmonton in six.
Okay. Anthony, Edmonton in?
In five.
Oof. Oh, what? Really? Oh, interesting. Okay. Let's go, cousin.
Just to be clear, I want Edmonton to win the cup absolutely more than any other team. Vegas in six.
Wow. Okay. Man, this one I have a hard time predicting. It's going to seven. I don't know who's going to win. And I like Edmonton. I like, who doesn't love McDavid and Draisaitl? Yeah. And ever since they got Ekholm, they've been a completely different team on the back end. Evan Bouchard is taking full advantage of that. He's waking up.
Darnell Nurse.
Nurse too. Man, fuck, this is gonna be tough. If it's gonna be the battle of goaltenders in this series. Fuck, man, because both defense is pretty good. You got the best forwards in the world. Okay, fuck it. I'm going with Edmonton in seven. Move on to the East. New Jersey versus Carolina.
Jersey.
Whoa.
I'm saying Jersey.
I'm saying Carolina in seven.
I think Jersey has the momentum and they have the speed.
So does Carolina, dude. Carolina's got the speed. They got defense. Oh, my God. Yeah, they do.
And they have KK. Kidding.
Well, go Jersey.
Carolina in seven.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to stick to Carolina in seven as well.
Okay. And finally, Toronto versus Florida.
Can you hear me out? I want Florida, damn right. But I've been saying this since last year.
Stop it.
I have to say it. That's what I feel to my gut. Even though I'm shitting on Toronto, it's a gut that I've always had, and it doesn't go away. And I hope I'm wrong, but I'm hope I'm right so I can tell Joey, fuck you. But no, but actually, Joey actually agrees with me with the statement because he said it too. The moment Toronto breaks the first round, I know it's 4-2 Florida right now. I'm happy about that. But to me, I see it as if Toronto breaks the ice of the first round curse, they go straight to the finals. Not saying they're going to win the cup, but I see them going to the finals because of that momentum of breaking the ice. I'm sorry, it's what I feel. But I do want Florida to win it.
What games?
I think that game is going to go, that series is going to go to seven.
Okay, seven. I think Florida in seven.
Mm.
Florida in six.
So, okay, six.
Wow. Oh, boy.
I think if Toronto if Florida wants it, it has to be before seven because the seventh game, Toronto has that.
Okay. Yeah, I think Toronto wins game seven.
I know, just want to elaborate a little bit more. I just said Florida and six. I think Florida's game, it's like the fire versus ice tale of that. I just think the style of play that Florida has, Toronto's best players cannot perform, and they can't be themselves, and that's why I said with such ease, Florida in six. And Brandon Montour on the back end, I don't know what the hell this guy's been eating.
Waking up
before waking every up. Single, he's incredible right now. He just scored the fourth goal.
Yeah, it's honestly though, like if we get exciting hockey like we did in the first round, at the end of the day, no matter who goes and who loses, I think we're in for a good show.
But you know what? We haven't seen all round, and I think we're gonna see it in the.
Sorry,
we haven't seen a sweep.
It's true. It's true. We haven't really seen a sweep.
So we're all here saying game six, game seven. No one said five. Oh, yeah, I said five in one of them. But yeah. One series might surprise us. Okay.
Maybe. No, but anyways, I think that's pretty much it. I don't know if you guys have anything else to bring up one more time.
Yeah, a few things I want to talk about. So, oh, boy.
Before the podcast started, we got to close it. But before the podcast started, we were supposed to say what elements of certain teams that Montreal Canadiens are missing to bring it back to our beloved Canadiens to wrap up the podcast.
Yeah,
I don't know if we still have time for that.
Hurry it up. I really got to go. Hurry up.
Okay. Well, this has been something that's been driving me crazy from the beginning of the season, just the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I find that almost every single other team, they finish their checks at all given points of the game. I find Montreal is very docile. They don't make other teams pay. And especially in the playoffs, you just, again, it's a game changer. It's, I think, going to be the thing that decides the Toronto versus Florida series.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish the Montreal Canadiens had not this laissez-faire, like just go and smash the shit out of players. I'm tired of seeing guys like, again, our guys get beat up, bullied against the boards, even during the regular season. And then we just let the other teams skate by unfazed.
This is where I think guys like Jack Eye, Gouley on defense have to bring that game. I think Anderson has to continue bringing that game. You hope a guy like Slavkovsky can bring that game. Kirby Doc, you hope he could throw the body once in a while because he's a big guy. So,
grit and speed too. Because watching these playoffs this year, these tic tac toes, I've never seen that with the Habs. It's always a dump and chase. Yeah. This is a lot of tic tac toes.
Anthony hates that dump and chases. Oh my God.
The tic tac toes you need, like that fast game so you don't see the puck. Yeah.
Speaking of dumping. Anyways, listen, we're really gonna have to wrap this up, or else this is gonna be an emergency. But like, we pretty much covered all our points here. Yeah, guys, this is awesome episode. This is playoff hockey. There's nothing better in this world than playoff hockey. I may be biased because I'm a hockey fan, but I speak the truth from my heart, and I'm loving what I'm seeing by the boys on the ice. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. To the followers and our listeners, thanks again for tuning in. We will be back for probably season an episode. Oh my God. Wow. I'm going to not edit that part, but I'm going to restart. We will be back for a round two recap episode leading into round three. Please, once again, like and subscribe on YouTube. Share us with your friends. Tell your friends about us.
One week away from the lottery.
Oh my God! At 8 o'clock Eastern Time, the time has changed. So mark that on your calendars.
We're also a live reaction like last year, guys.
We're 100% getting together. We're gonna film the shit out of our reactions, and hopefully, it's the same like last year or hopefully even better. Listen to us on your podcast platforms: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, where anywhere you listen to your podcast. The Curfew Boys are there with you always. Yep, it's time to go, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. Enjoy the rest of the game. Toronto is losing 4-2 to Florida, Seattle, Dallas up next. Until next time.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.